Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we try to answer your queries, your issues you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children, and the answers are based upon Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified family. Well, today we have the pleasure to be with Professor Salman Naqvi, who is a faculty member at Al Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Yes, thank you very much.
Professor, you are helping us with the tips, with the points that how can we encourage our teens to be Islamic, and you have been helping us, like, we could encourage them towards Islamic art, we could encourage them to learn Arabic, we could encourage them for interfaith dialogue and community service. And now I want to ask you something. We have talked a lot about giving family time, having quality time with the family, but what we do in this time is also important. So how could parents actually encourage family time and involve their children in Islamic activities?
Yes, a very important point is that we should be able to engage with our children and give them, as you said, quality time. And what quality more than, for example, the recitation of the Quran together?
All right.
We should have an experience, a good, nice, exciting experience when we recite the Quran together. Unfortunately, we ourselves have not learned the Quran properly. And we can't teach our children to do so. So if we get involved in this, we need to first educate ourselves. Many of these child prodigies that we have today who have memorized the Quran by heart, and they can, recite any verse from any page that you point out and say they memorized them. Many of them have been able to do so because their parents first took upon themselves to learn the Quran in the proper way and to memorize it. Then they were able to teach their children to
right.
do so. So we need to be able to learn ourselves the proper recitation of the Quran, its meanings, the melodious way of reciting the Quran with As-Sawt al-Hasan. And this is a beautiful experience that we should all be engaged in. And then if in early mornings or in the evenings, we can get together, sit in a circle, and then everyone can recite. One should be the guide, the mentor, the coach, or we can invite someone to do so. But we sit all together in a circle, and everyone, the small boy of the five-year kid or the elderly person, they can all sit together.
Right.
I can cite you an example. In Qom, in the after Friday prayers, there's a sheikh who sits after the Friday prayers, and people sit around him, with him in a circle. There's a 4-5 year boy, there's a 60-year-old guy, there's a 40-year boy person. Everyone, they are sitting together in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes the lead, and everyone recites the way he does, and they everyone follows him. Then he wants them to recite individually. And then he points out the mistakes according to their level.
Right.
So that's a very beautiful learning experience. That can be repeated at home also. And we can get together to recite the Quran together. For example, we should be able to pray together. And the father should be the prayer leader. And he should be such that he is capable of leading the prayers.
Right.
He should have the qualities. It's not the mandate of a scholar only to lead the prayers. The family head can also lead the prayers.
Right.
And he should have the qualification to do that. The least qualification for every believing Muslim is that he is reciting the prayer properly, with proper applying the proper rules. The pronunciation, everything is so good that his family can offer their prayers behind him.
Right.
So this time is quality time together.
Right. These were some of the very beautiful examples. There's more to explore, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a while.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We are talking about the family time and how Islamic things could be encouraged in this family time. Professor, you said that reciting Quran together in the family, offering Jamaat prayers together in the family could be very few examples of spending a very good quality time in the family.
Yes, we can sit together to learn the translation of the Quran, or recite the Nahjul Balagha, or Sahifa Sajjadiya, or even the Mafatih al-Janan. We can recite the prayers together, everyone, every day, a small prayer with its meanings, with trying to understand, to discuss what the prayer is saying, what the holy verse is saying. There should be a discussion about it. The children should feel free to question. So we need to, you know, update our information and our knowledge also to be able to carry out those things.
I think I was discussing with one of my friends recently, which is the Quranic verse that has changed your life? And she would ask me the same question, which Quranic verses have changed your life? And then when we were explaining these things and explaining our experiences with these verses, her experiences were adding more to my knowledge regarding that particular verse. And my understanding of those verses added more to her knowledge about that particular verse. So sometimes if you discuss even questions like this in the family, it really adds to the knowledge, and you have a different perspective towards that verse, and different perspectives can actually help us lead to a very strong meaning.
Yes, so in this interaction could lead to the emergence of something new for all of us. And if there's a question, then we can go out to a scholar and ask him. And also, for example, we could engage in reciting the book of practical laws, the Risalat, the Tawzi'ul Masail, and discuss the Masail, the practical laws of Islam together, and see how to implement them, and to help each other to implement them, the proper way of ablution, the wudu, the salah, the tahara. So there's so many things can be done together in a collective manner in the family. So this is a way of, you know, educating our children without taking them to a class for it. Especially children, especially, they run away from classes which are focused on Islamic, you know, things, Islamic teachings or whatever. So it can be done in a non-formal way. It can be done in an informal
way. Play-by method.
Yes. So the important thing is they should learn the Quran. The message of the Quran, and they understand
content.
The Quran, and they also, you know, practice what is being said. So, or even we can discuss ethical issues, moral issues. We can also discuss the various issues that are taking place in the society, in our neighborhood, at the global level, at the regional level, even when we want to enhance our knowledge about the political currents and the affairs which are going on in the world and that they are impacting us as Muslims.
Exactly. Well, we have more in the store to explore on this topic, but after a short break, so stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, the best among you is he who learns the Quran and teaches it.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we're with Professor Salman Naqvi discussing what Islamic things could be encouraged in the family time. Professor said so far that we could recite Quran together, we could debate on the content of Quran, we could go for the congregation prayers together in the family and do a lot of things. Well, Professor, you know, whenever there's this political discussion in the family, whenever we have some family time together, you would often see a father and a boy, they would get engaged in some political discussion. And seeing that, the mother and the daughter will prefer to go into the kitchen or do some kind of work which suits them more. How important is it for all of them to be together and to be discussing some ethical issue which is actually emphasized in Islam?
Yes, when it comes to issues pertaining to ethics and morals and even beliefs, we can't discuss them in a vacuum, can we? All our beliefs, our belief system, our value system, can be implemented and applied to different life situations, whether it is of a political nature, it is of an economic nature, it is of a social nature. So we don't necessarily, when we're talking about politics, we're not going to take sides with someone. We need to just analyze what's happening and seeing what is in accordance with our principles and what is not in accordance with our principles. We don't need to discuss personalities. We don't need to discuss maybe a person who is a political leader.
Like, even if you're discussing politics, there's this beautiful book by Ayatollah Motahhari, Society and History, which discusses what an Islamic society should look like, what are the principles and basic elements of that society. You could actually discuss those issues which could be both as per Ayatollah Khomeini as well, that religion is not different from politics. So even if we want to have some political discussions, we could actually see what are the issues that are happening in our society in line with our teachings of Islam, Quran, and the teachings of Ahlul Bayt.
Yes, so we need to bring out those principles and values in our discussions about the various issues that are being faced by society. For example, we have many political upheavals in this part of the world, in the West, in the Pak subcontinent, in the Far East. Everywhere we have issues which the Islamic Ummah is facing. Palestine, Kashmir, Yemen, so many issues. Indian Muslims, they are facing so many difficulties nowadays. So they have to be discussed, and the underlying principles and beliefs have to be mentioned to our children. They should realize and they should understand if there's some oppression taking place, there's some tyranny. So what are the principles which need to be understood, and what things are being done against those principles? For example, when you talk about the people in Kashmir, they don't have the right for self-determination, for example. That has been taken away from them. Apart from the Islamic teachings which we have, even the United Nations resolutions were there at once upon a time when they had to be followed, but India did not follow them. So we need to understand those principles. We need to make our children understand what's happening in Palestine, what's happening
in Yemen. In Syria,
why should Israel, why shouldn't it remain as a country today?
So-called superpowers.
Not that we want to tell them to wipe it off the face of the earth. No, we want to tell them what is the basis for that.
Right. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us and for that intellectual and that very strong discussion, which is really required, which is the need of time. Family time is there, but what should be discussed in the family time is also important. The professor gave us some of the very important tips. What should be discussed in that family time? Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for some more exciting episodes. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.